Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is October 16th. I'm Steven Masso, and you are listening to Via the Source. Now, first things first, I must apologize for how long it's taken me to get this video up, but there is a flip side to this, and it is because I was in Miami. I just got back to Texas late last night. I was actually present for the game in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium in the press box. So the first thing I must do is I must give a big shout out and a big thank you to the Miami Dolphins organization for allowing me to be present in the press box and giving me this opportunity. It was a wonderful opportunity. I met some great people, some very talented people, and it was just awesome to see the amount of things that go on behind the scenes to get everything to work. And it was just, like I said, an awesome experience. I can't thank them enough. This was an awesome opportunity. As you know, it was 2 days after my birthday, so that was just only added to the excitement. And so I kind of want to go over a few things. First things first, I must talk about Miami and Fort Lauderdale, the area. Man, talk about humidity. I'm from Texas, and I'm used to the heat, but I'm used to more of a dry heat. Man, I was sweating. I didn't even know my body was capable of producing the amount of sweat it did. So I got to give a lot of props to you people in Florida for being able to live through that, because, man, that was brutal. But you know what? It was by far, it was worth it. So I'm going to go over, before I go over the actual recap of the game, I want to go over kind of my experience at the stadium, some events that they were having in the area. So the first thing there when I got there was the Football Unites tailgate, and that is this event they were having for the third consecutive year. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross and Dolphins players hosted the Football Unites tailgate, and that is to strengthen relationships between community leaders, youth, and the law enforcement there. So this event takes place at each Miami home game. So it was there for this game. It had a huge show out. It was great. The tailgate featured giveaways, games, food. It had a live DJ, and it all had this kind of educational component designed to create dialogue, foster positive relationships of people of different races, different genders, sexual orientations, just a really open-minded event. And there were a handful of organizations. So I'm just going to run through them by real quick. The 5,000 Role Models of Excellent Project, Art Detectives, Community Justice Project Incorporated, the Miami Gardens Police Department, National Organization of Black Law Executives South Florida Chapter, the North Miami Police Athletic League, North Miami Beach Police Athletic League, Pride Lines, SAVE, Trayvon Martin Foundation, Urban League of Broward County, and the YWCA Miami. They were all part of this wonderful program. And then this tailgate initiative, it stems from the collective orientation town hall hosted in the fall of 2016, and that was by the Dolphins and the Ross Initiative for Sports Equality, RISE. And like I said, it was just an awesome opportunity for people to get together and have an awesome time before this game. Another little event they had outside the stadium, which was really cool, was the Bud Light Backyard. And this also hosted, it had a stage, it had a DJ, and Bud Lights were being sold for $2. And it also had games, like they had people playing cornhole, they had a big turnout. As you may have known, there were a large amount of Chicago Bears fans at this game. But one thing I saw that was very cool was that at this Bud Light backyard, there were a lot of Bears fans and Dolphin fans having fun and just sharing a love for football before the game. And that was really good to see that this sport is able to unite people in that way. So it was, you know, just really good to see before the game. So to talk about the game itself, the Miami Dolphins, they pulled off an improbable victory this Sunday as they faced the Chicago Bears. The game, as you know, was in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. The final score was 31-28 after Jason Sanders hit a game-winning field goal in overtime. So, a little background. Shortly before kickoff, news broke that Brock Osweiler would be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins. Starter Ryan Tannehill sustained a shoulder injury, likely against the Oakland Raiders, that required him to miss this game. So, full panic mode at that point, hearing Tannehill's out. But between the goal line fumble, completions off of ricochets, and a missed game-winning kick, it's fair to say that this ended up being one of the most exciting Dolphins games I have seen. With 8 minutes in the third quarter, Miami was trailing 10-21. Osweiler had just thrown his second interception. It was nearly returned for a pick six. Tariq Cohen, all game showcasing this game-changing speed. Taylor Gabriel had been burning cornerback Torrey McTyre all game. All signs at that point were pointing to the team collapsing. That's what it seemed like. It was a really demoralized feeling. On the next drive, the Dolphins were held to a field goal, and the Bears again quickly drove the length of the field. Trubisky connected with Cohen. It looked like a dagger, a 3-yard touchdown pass. But Trey Burton flagged for an illegal pick play. The touchdown was reversed, taken off the board. There was a glimmer of hope. Next play, Trubisky intercepted in the end zone by TJ McDonald. Right at that moment, momentum began to shift. In comes Albert Wilson. What a guy. Next drive alone, Wilson 71 yards. And more importantly, 43 came on a huge touchdown to bring the game within two. Osweiler would connect with Stills. Awesome play on a two-point conversion. Game tied up, 21-21. The Bears would drive the length of the field again. Trubisky found a wide-open Anthony Miller for a 29-yard touchdown. Score 21-28. The Dolphins are down. Now, the Dolphins, they didn't even have time to panic after this. The first play of the following drive, Osweiler connects again. Who else? Albert Wilson, a 75-yard touchdown reception, amazing yards after the catch. Score tied up again, 28-28. The teams would end up heading into overtime. Now, Miami won the coin toss to kick off overtime and leaned on Frank Gore. Gore was doing an amazing job. He put the Dolphins within the 5-yard line. The Dolphins elected to sub Kenyon Drake in. Gore looked gassed at that point. It made sense. Drake bounces to the right, hit a defender, and actually fumbles the ball within inches of scoring the game-winning touchdown. The Bears recovered. Drake went to the bench immediately. He was slumped over. He had a towel over his head. And personally, I didn't have any resentment towards Drake. You had to feel for him. He looked like these type of things, they happen. And I cannot, you know, you can't fault someone who doesn't make mistakes like that often. They make a mistake there, you know, it happens. And I felt really bad for him because he looked really distressed on that sideline. So Chicago's offense, they did well enough to put the former Dolphin Cody Parkey in position to kick what would be a game-winning 53-yard field goal. Fortunately for Dolphin fans and unfortunately for the Bears, the hold was bobbled. The kick ended up sailing right. Kenyon Drake looked relieved. He took the field on the next drive. He picked up 22 yards over the next three plays. Talk about bouncing back. Osweiler was able to connect with Amendola. That put Jason Sanders in range for a 47-yard field goal. The snap, the hold, it's good. 31-28, a Dolphins win. What a finish. So let's take a deeper look at this game. Now, the first thing that must be said is that Albert Wilson single-handedly altered the outcome of this game. He receives the game ball. He finished the game 6 catches, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the majority of these yards were after the catch. What he was doing in the open field was tremendous. He displayed this incredible ability to make guys miss, and his speed is typically overlooked because of Jakeem Grant, but man, Albert Wilson's got these burners. So, the second note, Brock Osweiler, Albert Wilson said after the game, quote, "He's a warrior," and that's exactly how I would describe this performance. Osweiler finished 28 for 44, 380 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Now, he wasn't tremendous. He threw some bad passes, including the second interception. It could have easily been a pick six. And there were times when I couldn't tell which receiver he was targeting. But when the team was fighting their way back into the game, he delivered. He played a mistake-free game the moment Miami got back within one possession. His biggest accomplishment in this game, to me, was his ability to recognize pressure. He wasn't pressured as much as I was expecting him to be, but he was getting the ball out quick. He was making throws while getting hit. It was a drastic difference from what we saw with Tannehill in the past two games in that aspect, in terms of how he dealt with the pressure. Now, that kind of leads us into the next point. Well, where was Khalil Mack? Well, Mack just didn't suddenly lose all his superstar talent. Instead, Juwan James put up a career effort at stopping this all-pro linebacker. It was a success by all means, as Mack only had 2 tackles. His impact was hardly felt, if anything. He was almost invisible in this game, and I hope I'm not understating the offensive line's accomplishment in this one, because it was absolutely tremendous. If there were 2 game balls, the Miami Dolphins offensive line receives this second one. Huge round of applause for the big guys. What a performance by them in this game. Now, the Bears also did pretty well offensively. The Bears offense ran through 2 players predominantly, and I said that I feared them in the preview piece. These 2 guys were Tariq Cohen and Taylor Gabriel. Receiver Taylor Gabriel, huge day. He racked up 110 yards on 5 catches. He was lined up primarily against Torrey McTyer, who was really struggling against this speedy receiver. Cordrea Tankersley ended up filling in for Torrey McTyer after he was getting burned a few times. Now, Tariq Cohen, he looked unstoppable for most of the day. The Dolphins could not wrap him up, but at times it's hard to blame him. He's a hard guy to get a hold of. Cohen is gifted with speed. He has that same video game speed that Jakeem Grant has, the same one Tyreek Hill has, and Cohen ended up finishing the game 121 yards and a touchdown. He was really unstoppable towards the middle of this game. Now, quarterback Mitch Trubisky was coming off his career day, 6 touchdowns against Tampa Bay, but he did not have as successful. I wouldn't say he played bad by any means. At the beginning of the game specifically, he did not look comfortable. In the first half, he just did not look comfortable. Miami was applying pressure, and you could tell he was forcing throws that he would not like to have made. He threw several interceptable passes. Most notably, one came to Rashad Jones that ended up being dropped when he collided with another defender. In the second half, though, he looked better. He was able to connect with Albert Wilson on some beautiful back shoulder throws. Of course, he found Anthony Miller wide open in the end zone. Overall, I would say this was a solid performance from Mitch Trubisky. It wasn't his last week's or 2 weeks ago's performance, but it was another solid outing from Mitch Trubisky. That's a good reason to be hopeful if you're a Chicago Bears fan. Now, Frank Gore, he led the rushing attack for Miami. He picked up 101 yards on 15 carries. Quite a day for Frank Gore. Kenyon Drake also had a good outing. Aside from, you know, the heartbreaking fumble near the goal line, Drake would finish with a total of 78 yards. Now, kicker Jason Sanders, another guy, quite a performance, going 3 for 3 on field goals. Of course, that game winner, and then he converted both of his extra point attempts. Now, this is my favorite part of the show, the takeaways, because this is where I get to add my own thoughts, and I get to brag about stuff if I'm right about it 2 weeks later. But yeah, here are my takeaways for this game. First one, Albert Wilson is better for this team than Jarvis Landry. And this is coming from someone who was the biggest Jarvis Landry fan. I got 3 of his jerseys. If there's a way I can get a refund on at least one of those, let me know, please. But I got 3 of them. But Albert Wilson, he just has an extra gear that Landry doesn't possess in terms of speed. Now, Landry reaped the benefits of those bubble screens, those short routes. It made his career. But Wilson has a greater ability to capitalize on those same routes. And that's something I've been saying since the offseason, that Wilson is just that shifty, and if you give him the same opportunities that Landry had in his career, he could capitalize even more so. And I think this is just going to open Gase's eyes up even more to that, and you're going to see Wilson getting a lot more of these valuable touches. The second takeaway for this game is that Brock Osweiler's strengths in this game were Tannehill's weaknesses and vice versa. Now, Osweiler played good in this game. He had 380 yards. It was a mark that Tannehill has not reached since week 2 of 2016. But it would be unfair of me to say that he was dotting up the Bears defense, because that's what you see. If you see 380 passing yards, you think, wow, this guy was surgical with it. He was tearing them apart. But many of those yards came courtesy of Albert Wilson's after the catch ability. In other words, some of those big throws were ones that realistically I think Tannehill could have made as well. And there were also some throws that I thought Osweiler didn't make that Tannehill could have made. But I have to say, Osweiler's pocket presence looked night and day from Tannehill's in the past few games. In 2018, his ability to extend plays and get through several reads was more impressive than what I've seen from Tannehill so far this season. So you kind of have to pick. What do you want? One quarterback is safe. He's very conservative, almost a detriment to how conservative he is. He's an accurate quarterback, though, but his pocket presence is not 100% there, and his ball security is a liability, and that's Tannehill. The other quarterback is a guy who has the ability to extend plays, but at the same time, he makes some bad decisions, and his accuracy isn't the greatest, and that's Osweiler. So you kind of have to pick your poison or pick what benefits you want. And personally, I'm still leaning Tannehill. I am a guy from Texas. I saw that Texans season. I actually have a tweet saying that Osweiler is one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen start a game. And I don't remember which game specifically it was, but I know in order for me to tweet that, it must have been something very bad. So I'm still leaning Tannehill in this situation. Now, for my last takeaway. Is it my last takeaway? Oh, no, I got one more after this. Next takeaway. Frank Gore should remain the ground and pound guy. And I know I questioned him last week, getting more carries than Kenyon Drake. But when it comes to running inside, he is just the better back right now. And I still think Drake is more athletic. Drake is still a home run threat. But Gore possesses this unique skill of finding holes and finding gaps in the defense, and it shows how he's been able to be efficient all these years. So right now, I am full steam ahead on this being a running back by committee or a two-headed monster. I have no problem with them splitting the carries just because of how effective Gore has been, and I would like to see Kalen Ballage get incorporated into this. I think he has amazing upside. Now, here is my last takeaway for the game. The defense will feast when Bobby McCain returns, because the weakest link in this Dolphins defense right now is Torrey McTyer. He had a very good tackle at the beginning of this game, and it had me really excited, but he was just a step too slow when it came to guarding Taylor Gabriel. So I think McCain would prevent this from happening in the future. Now, an important note that also must be said here is that Kiko Alonso is having a tremendous, amazing season, but I am still concerned about Raekwon McMillan and stopping these pass-catching running backs. That is my biggest concern on the team, stopping the quick, shifty running backs, the James Whites, the Tariq Cohens, because I'm looking at the schedule right now. We have Theo Riddick coming up, Bilal Powell, and Aaron Jones. Those are all guys possess the same skill as James White, possess the same ones as Giovanni Bernard and Tariq Cohen. Those are the guys that concern me right now. So I really hope we address this issue. Raekwon McMillan, Jerome Baker, these are guys who are going to have to step up, I think. And also the safeties, Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald, they've been looking a little slow when it comes to stopping these quick, shifty running backs. So there still are concerns for me. I still have them ranked in the same area where I think they could sneak into the playoffs. I am not sure. It was a great win, though. It's something that all football fans should love, seeing a game of this caliber of excitement. That is what makes us fans of the sport. So it was overall a great experience. Like I said, big thank you to the Miami Dolphins. There's one final point I want to touch on before I end this episode. And it was, honestly, it was one of my favorite parts of this game. And it was that the halftime of this game between the Chicago Bears, the Miami Dolphins honored and celebrated cancer fighters and survivors from Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. There were researchers and there were doctors present as Stephen Ross presented a donation of $5 million to this cause. And it was really just amazing to see. There were also some survivors there. I was lucky enough to get an opportunity to speak with Dr. Stephen Nimer from the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. And here are some things that he had to say when I was able to speak with him.
I speak on behalf of over 300 physicians and researchers at Sylvester. And we work tirelessly to find new ways of approaching diseases and actually doing a lot to prevent or early diagnosis. Every single cancer patient that we take care of who survives is thrilled for us. And we do this over and over again. And it's just amazing here at this event to see survivors, to have a partnership with the Miami Dolphins this strong. Together we've raised over $27.5 million. Every dollar going to research. It's transformative for the region and for us.
Like I said, there were also some survivors present as well. One of them was Sonia, who is a 17-year-old cancer survivor. She is in remission right now for the past 2 weeks, and she is just an awesome person. Her personality was glowing. She seemed so happy, so strong, and I was able to speak with her, and she actually shared some very encouraging and inspiring things that it was just awesome to hear, and here's what she had to say.
No, you're not alone. There's a lot of support all around the community. No matter where you're being treated, they always have different resources. And it's really important to just connect with younger people, even your age, and you guys will get through it together. It's going to be way easier than trying to do it alone. Definitely made me stronger. Originally, I wanted to be a vet when I grew up, but after this experience, I'm thinking about being a pediatrician for cancer patients. So I want to become a pediatric oncologist just to give back to the community, because
and like I said, guys, this was just an amazing thing to see, something that extends beyond the sport of football, and it just has such a tremendous impact. The funds for this donation were acquired from the Dolphins Cancer Challenge event, and the DCC is the NFL's single largest fundraiser, and that's how they were able to acquire this money for the donation. It was just, like I said, an awesome thing to see. And guys, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode. So until next time, guys, let me know what you guys think. Hopefully you guys enjoyed my live tweeting from the press box. As always, you can follow me at Shady Steven at Via The Source. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. The big question that I want to ask you guys is, who do you want to be the quarterback right now? Are you hoping it's Osweiler next week, or do you want to see Ryan Tannehill back as a starting quarterback? Let me know what you guys think. As always, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via the Source.